So looking at the story, there's this guy living in Jericho, and Jesus is just passing through. And he's a social outcast for a couple of reasons. Zacchaeus, he was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. I'm not sure you can sing that song anymore, but he was short. Even today, with short people, there's kind of this unfair stigma, right, that came with it. But our societies, we've worked to alleviate some of the unfairness and stigma, and we try to promote fairness and equality. Zacchaeus lived in a world that did not have that luxury. He was free to be picked on, laughed at, and left out, and that's what happened to him a lot. The average male height in Israel during that time was about 5'6". By our standards, that's pretty short. For like the 10% of you who listen to 90s rap, Skilo. You remember Skilo? He wishes he was a little bit taller and wishes he was a baller. Yeah, Kyle knows. He's 5'8". He was tall. He would have been tall in that world. And so if there's a guy who's in this crowd with that, where the average male height is 5'6", the average female height is 5'1", and he can't see and he needs to climb up in a tree, you better believe he's under 4'10". Which in our world constitutes a little person having dwarfism. So he likely had dwarfism. So this guy, because of that, especially in his world, would have faced a lot of challenges in life that a lot of other people would not have to deal with. On top of that, he's a tax collector. Now, no one likes tax collectors, not even today. No one likes going to the tax office and paying people. We don't like doing that. But here in this world, a tax collector wasn't just someone that took your money. It was a traitor. It was a traitor. Rome had come in and taken over Israel, and the Israelites wanted Rome out. But here you have an Israelite working with Rome. He's a traitor. He's disloyal to his people. He's choosing money over loyalty to his people. He worked for this oppressive Roman government that everybody wanted out of there. And he's not just a tax collector. He's not just one of those grunt workers. You know, sometimes, like, if you're at the tax office and you're having to pay extra and you don't want to pay it, and you yell at the worker right there. I've never done this, but if you're tempted to yell at the worker, it's not fair, right? They didn't make those rules. They're just doing their job. Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector. He's good at it. He's worked his way up. He's not just someone who's doing his job. He's part of the corruption. He's part of the problem. So he's worse than you're just an average tax collector. He's part of the corruption. And so, of course, he's viewed as a sinner. He's not liked. I find it interesting because in American culture, we would really praise Zacchaeus. Hey, look, this guy pulled himself up by his own bootstraps. Look how he worked his way up to the top. He's a chief tax collector. He's rich. His parents must be proud. In our culture, we applaud greed. We aren't interested in how you got there. The ends justify the means. So it's interesting how we would have a different look at him today than how they did back then. To them, just a greedy, disgusting traitor. And I think it's interesting, there's kind of two different ideals in our culture now. There is the kind of bootstraps. It's all about individual choice, working hard, moving up to the top. And then on the other side, you kind of look at like, okay, there's societal constructs that kind of put roadblocks on people and make it harder, and some have it easier than others. And I think both need to be, it's not just one or the other. I think both need to be considered there. But we need to realize how society has shaped and advantaged and disadvantaged people. And he's somebody who would have been disadvantaged by society. But we need to also bring in personal choice. You know, you can't just hide behind what society's done to you. But I'll say this. It is very likely that society pushed Zacchaeus to be a tax collector. It's very likely that had something to do with his stature. He was somebody who was ostracized, picked on, laughed at, marginalized. So who cares if he's a traitor for money? He likely wasn't accepted by his own people and his own group. So you can kind of see how it happened. Be like, well, they've always been jerks to me. They've always picked on me. I'll just go over here. At least here I can have some money. So he probably didn't feel like he was a traitor at all. He probably never felt accepted. But unfortunately, he's probably a very sad man. He has all this wealth. He has nice clothes. He's got a nice house. Good food. But no real community. No real place, no real place to belong, nobody, no friends. He's probably a sad man. But one day he hears that this famous teacher, this healer, this guy who some people are saying the Messiah, he hears that he's coming through town. He's probably heard that he's a friend of sinners and tax collectors. And so he gets ahead of the crowd and he climbs up a tree because he doesn't want to miss. He doesn't want to miss out on this. He wants to see what's happening. And he risks this embarrassment of doing that, of climbing up the tree. It was probably a spectacle seeing this little short guy scurry up a tree. And it's probably all the people looking over at him that drew Jesus' attention. He could probably go in this crowd and he can see everybody's heads turn, thinking, what's going on over here? And he looks up and he sees Zacchaeus in the tree. And Jesus calls him by name. Somehow Jesus knows his name. He knows that's Zacchaeus. Maybe it was because he's God and it was power. Maybe he heard people snickering and calling him Zacchaeus. But Jesus calls him by his name. He doesn't call him probably the other names he's been called, short stuff and Rome lover and traitor or whatever else. He calls him by his name. He says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. It's kind of rude to invite yourself to people's houses. Don't do that. But in this case, it was a great honor. And Zacchaeus knows it, and so does everybody else watching. They're all kind of jealous and kind of shocked of all the people here. He's going to go hang out with that guy, that sinner. Can he even do that? Is that okay? And Zacchaeus has got to be ecstatic about this. He's never been chosen before in his life. No one's ever cared about him. He's never been picked first. And here Jesus is picking him. So this is all exciting and new. He's probably never hosted before. He probably doesn't even know what to do. And so Jesus goes to his house. And we don't really know what ministry or words were spoken to him. But you can imagine a lot of good things happen there. Just being present with him there must have been transformative. I mean, we know it was transformative. Because Jesus gave Zacchaeus what he really needed. He gave him a friend. And he gave him a little bit of time. Time at his house, just the two of them. Quality time. And so I find it interesting, is Zacchaeus, in this case, he didn't really need a great public sermon. He didn't need to be told he was a sinner. Everybody else is already doing that. That wasn't transformative for him. Being picked on, being told he was no good, being told he was bad, that wasn't working for him. That wasn't changing him. That wasn't bringing transformation. Jesus didn't even heal him. I find that really interesting. If he really had dwarfism, if he really had some condition that made him short, Jesus didn't heal that, as if to say, you know what, that's not what's broken about you. Now you're good the way you are there. I don't need to, you don't have this part of your body that needs to be fixed. What Zacchaeus really needed was to be known, to have someone spend some time with him. And it's interesting how Jesus prescribes different things to different people. It's like he knows what they need, and so he meets that need. And for different people, it's a different thing, which is something that love does. It looks at people empathetically to identify what their needs are and then works to meet them. It's not one size fits all. Some people do need a harsh talking to. Some people do need a good sermon. Some people need to just be spent time with. You know, I'm a hugger. I like hugs, but I don't go around giving hugs to everybody. Some people do not want hugs. And it's not a loving thing to hug someone who doesn't want a hug. It's not one size fits all. You need to know people and know what their needs are and know how to meet them in a loving way. There is a QR code in your bulletin where you can take the five love languages quiz. I don't know how accurate it is. There's been some debate with people who have taken it, but there's this whole like love language theory, which I don't totally agree with, but it's a fun thing to do anyway, is that basically there are five ways that are written up here that are ways to, that people express love, but also feel loved. So through physical touch, words of affirmation, acts of service, quality time, and gift giving. And if you take that that love language, it's fun. The kids should take it too. There's one for kids. Follow that QR code and take it. It's kind of a fun thing to talk about at lunch or whatever. But you can see in this case, the love language that Jesus used with Zacchaeus was quality time. He went and spent some time with them to let Zacchaeus feel known, to be heard, to be listened to, and to be validated. That's what this guy needed, because he was nobody else was giving him that. And it's a very loving thing to do, to just stop and acknowledge, dude, you matter. You matter, because no one else told him that. And that's a loving thing to do, especially the people that society has said, you don't matter, you're not important, or you're bad. Jesus came to those people and said, you matter. And that was a loving thing to do. And it's actually pretty small. It's a pretty small thing, but it is powerful. Jesus says, you're worth my time. You are worth knowing. You are worth listening to. You are worth having your name remembered. So he spends this quality time. And it is transformative. I believe in by Jesus helping him, by being with him, he showed Zacchaeus his inner value. You are still created in the image of God. You are still beloved of God. And that alone was transformative. And so think about that for a moment, quality time. Is that your love language? Is that your people's love language? And how can you do that? Because quality time, spending quality time with people, it means more than just being in proximity. A lot of times we're in proximity with our loved ones, but it's not quality time. We're staring at a screen together. We're looking at our phones together. That's not quality time. Quality time means I am here with you, I'm listening to you, and you have my full and undivided attention. So quality time might be playing games together, long meals together, picnics, trips, walks. There are a lot of ways that we have a lot of, we're in proximity together. That's not quality time. We need to work towards quality time when we are together. But in response to this validation and this love that Jesus shows Zacchaeus just by being with him, Zacchaeus takes reparative action. He gives half of his stuff away. And then he gives back four times to the people that he ripped off. That's a great deal for them. He probably became the most popular person in town because I'm sure he ripped off a lot of people. And it's interesting because he goes beyond the law's requirements of restitution. Levitical law didn't require him to do that. He's going above and beyond. He's making it more right than he even needed to. Which is really interesting because we've talked a lot about how with Jesus often shows us that love trumps law. Love trumps the old law. And you see Jesus do that like when it's better to love and heal on the Sabbath and break the Sabbath rules of work. And here you see it going the other way. Here, it's going above and beyond the requirements of the law. Levitical law didn't require this. And so I love that he's going above and beyond here. And it's so much more loving. It shows that love and a changed heart is more important than following a rule list. It would have been lame if he was like, well, I've done wrong. I'm going to go through here and see what I have to do to make it right. No, he didn't do that. He didn't just go to a rule list. He just, out of the overflow of his heart and love, he went and he repaid and he gave back. And that was powerful. And that was way better than just this legalistic following of some rules in the Old Testament. And Jesus affirms that action. And I also find it interesting, again, looking at Jesus giving different prescriptions to different things. One chapter earlier, he tells the rich young ruler to give away everything. This guy's giving away half and then some when he's repaying people. Different prescriptions for different people. It's not one size fits all. What he told the rich young ruler isn't a command for all of us. Maybe it would be for some of us, but it's not a command for all of us. He knows people, he knows what they need, and that's what he prescribes. So here this morning, what I want you to hear, if you want to think about how to love well, is one is to know people's needs and love them in a way that they understand, in a way that is meaningful to them. And then two, quality time, just making people feel seen and heard and known. It's a small thing, but a lot of people aren't getting that. A lot of people don't get that attention and that quality time that they need, and it's a loving thing to do. So this morning, I want you to know that you have a God who loves you deeply, even in the midst of sin, even in the midst of brokenness, even in failure, he has time for you, and he wants to be in a relationship with you, just like he did with Zacchaeus. So if you're here this morning, you want to invite Jesus into your life, into your home, into an intimate space in your life, we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.